722 here on this Thursday edition of Palmetto Mornings, 28 degrees on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
I'm Alex Greenewald.
We're having such a great conversation right now with Jonathan Brown. He's from Jonathan Brown Electric. He has been a huge supporter of our Toys for Happiness campaign over the years. Now we are in our 38th year of providing Christmas cheer to families in our community that need a little extra pick-me-up this time of the year. All we're asking for is a new unwrapped toy. You can drop it off at the donation boxes that you see in and around town, and you know it's a donation box because it's wrapped, and it's got the Toys for Happiness flyer attached to it.
It's very sparkly and shiny.
Please. And I saw the volunteers wrap them, wrapped all those boxes with my own eyes. So it's like a little Santa's workshop here at the broadcast house. But Jonathan, we always enjoy your conversation and sharing your story with our listeners every year. First of all, good morning to you, my man.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with y'all this morning.
And you enjoyed my story I just shared a moment ago about how would you write, "I changed a light bulb" on a resume.
That was right up your alley.
That is right up my alley. That's a beautiful embellishment of how you do a simple thing.
Single-handedly managed.
But the most important thing, we have to have lights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I constantly tell my guys in this industry, in this business, I said, you need to understand something. You are of great value, and you must understand this. While the world, and a lot of times through the years and previous, put down the type of work that we do as low class, blue collar, uneducated work, the reality is, while we are uneducated by the means of college, as I think it was Mark Twain says, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education.
Love it.
It's a great term because while the school provides a certain amount, education is a daily life living event. You can learn so much from it. I tell my guys, you're educated, you're smart, you are worthy because you understand, or you need to understand, no one else with those high degrees can do what they do without people like us. That banker can't run that bank unless those lights are on and that power's flowing. They can't sit there unless that water's flowing. They can't sit there unless that AC, well, they can, but they won't unless that AC's flowing.
I said,
or the heat.
So true.
So we people in the industries that we work are very much so valued, and I kind of tell my guys that because there are times where guys in our industry get to that devalued feeling because people still look at them, you know, low-class, blue-collar, uneducated. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. They're very educated, most of them. They're very hardworking. Mm-hmm. They're very diligent. Why we don't have a degree, we sure enough have an education.
Preach it.
Wow.
Pass around the offering plate. I feel like we're in church, but that is so well said,
Jonathan.
I mean,
it's incredible. And I can't imagine working with you. It just seems like you have such a good culture within your organization, and the employees are in such good hands having a mentor like you.
Well, I'll tell you, I try to be good, but at the same time, I've got plenty of guys out there who'll tell you probably a different story. I am a boss. I do own a company, so I am the guy in charge. And renownedly, regardless of what you do, if you're the man who's in charge, sometimes you're perceived to be the
bad guy,
the rear end of the donkey. So needless to say, it happens. But I try to be good, and I try to be encouraging to the guys. Now, whether they take it that way at times is a different story. There's a different side, I will say, standing in front of a group of men. I'll speak a little differently and a little more firmly.
I hear you.
It's one of those ones most of them need, they don't like, but some of them need.
What do you think's worse, a group of ladies working with a group of women or working with a group of men?
Oh, God, women, by all means.
I would agree. I worked for many years with seven women, the only man in seven women.
Ooh.
I couldn't say anything. If I said anything, I landed at a 6-month residency in HR. I said nothing.
You were a loser.
My mother owns a dog grooming salon, and it's 90% women in there. And she'll tell you, she goes, "Oh, it's way worse working with a bunch of women than it is working with the men."
Now they're hard workers.
They're
task oriented, and they get stuff done.
Task oriented, highly functional,
totally.
Way more functional
totally
in certain things than men are. But woo, the drama!
It's the emotions that come with us.
Oh my goodness. Well, Jonathan, I know we're having some fun, but your story is just, wow, it's really amazing to see what he just described. He learned this because when you hear about the School of Hard Knocks, he lived it, like had a front row seat. He had to grow up to become a man when he was still a child, really, Jonathan. And I'll let you just kind of continue your story from there.
Well, going into that story, it's starting off in the shortest term version of it I can put it is that as a young child, my parents were divorced. My father was a raging alcoholic who was quite abusive. So my mother obviously left him. He was in and out of our lives periodically and you know, came back and around. He traded alcohol for every other drug and available thing to him, which turned into a whole nother mess. We were homeless for 6 months in a park in a tent and 3 months in the back of a station wagon. We bounced around from place to place to place trying to find places to stay. I was a rough, rowdy, rambunctious young man with ADHD in a sense, and that was something that I did get diagnosed with. It's a whole nother story. But, you know, so I was a little rambunctious. So we stayed places. There were plenty of places we never were allowed to stay because they would tell my mother, you get rid of that one and we'll let you stay because he's just too much for us. We can't handle him. And God bless that woman for having stuck with me and said no and didn't let me go. There's so many times where I look back on that and I also feel a little bad and ashamed because I cause so much anguish for my brother, my sister, and my mother because I was that rowdy young man that just couldn't control himself at the time. But she didn't give up hope on me. And then look at where I got to, you know. That sometimes that little bit of hope that you put into somebody can grow. That little bit of kindness and care and love, and it turns into that. And I mean, yeah, it was a rough childhood. Yeah, we had some hard times. Sure, we had Christmases where we didn't have a lot or have anything at all. But in the end, I believe that love and that kindness that was shown from my mother and from other people is a great one. I got into the electrical industry because when we moved to a small little town, there's an old man at the church knew the story of what was going on. And this is another point to show you about how a little bit of kindness and a little bit of love goes a long way. This little old man who knew kind of what was going on said, hey, son, why don't you come work with me in the summer and in the evenings when you're not doing something? He says, I'll pay you a little bit and give you something. So I said, okay. At the age of 13, I went to work with him. And in the summertime when I was working, when we weren't in school, I was probably 80, 90 hours a week with him, you know. But I would take home a little bit of money, and that would pay the bills. And I was doing some of that. Now, of course, my mother got remarried to my stepfather, who was a great influence in life later too, but at the same time, that little bit of work took into action, and I learned something. I got excited about it, and from that point, I started just doing that work all the way through, and I just kept with it and just kept growing in that industry and that knowledge and that career, and then I stand where I stand today, owning a company, having several guys, and having the opportunity to give back and show that kindness to others. And I'm going to tell you, I stand back in awe and I look at it and just go, I don't believe I'm here. I can't believe that I actually made this. And truthfully, there are times I feel like odd that I even deserve it or should be here. But at the same time, it is where it is. I am where I am, and that's where I'm supposed to be and moving forward.
You are worthy, and God placed you through that journey for a reason.
And look at you now. Fast forward to today, like you said, happily married, 3 kids,
yes,
business
sir.
Owner. And now you are paying it forward with a very generous donation to our Toys for Happiness campaign. And Jonathan, we cannot say thank you enough. I mean, you know how special it is to have someone care about you, right? You just described that, pour into you. And we see these as toys. Toys are meant to be played with. But sometimes this is all about career development and career pathing. I mean, you might give a toy, something to a kid and they could become a doctor, a dentist, an electrician. I mean, it's just remarkable.
Career pathing, yes, but I also say that you remember, everything you do, in the sense, is an act of kindness, if you want to put it that way. But it's also, when you do something like this, it's not just a toy. It's a version of hope that you're giving to somebody. It's a simple gift of hope that you're putting forward, because that little gift, and sometimes it's as simple as a smile. One of the things I love doing the most, something that touches me more than anything, is it's today you walk around the street and you see everybody, their faces buried in their phone, not paying attention to anything. And you see children who are usually always bright-eyed and looking around. I love to sit there and watch a child when they make eye contact with you and just smile at them real big, and you watch them kind of pull back and smile back, and they get real shy. It's that little bit of contact, that little bit of happiness, that little bit of joy you show them sometimes when you wave or you make a silly face and they laugh. That's a little bit of hope and kindness you give them. That's a contact that they'll never forget, because they'll think, oh, there's nice people. There's people out here. It's a simple embrace sometimes, a hug. Somebody who's occasionally, you can tell, just needs a warm embrace and a hug. There are people who just need a word of kindness sometimes, a handshake, something as simple as a pat on the back. We can do these simple acts. Given a toy for Toys for Happiness is given a toy, but it's given a drop of hope to a child somewhere to say, today may not be great, but tomorrow can be better. Somebody cares and loves enough for you to keep moving forward. These are the things that we do, and these are the things that I encourage anyone and everyone to continue to try and do.
Well, we are in the middle of our 38th annual Toys for Happiness campaign, and all we're asking for are a new unwrapped toy, and you can drop it off at Jonathan Brown Electric here at the Broadcast House or wherever you see a donation box. Jonathan, as always, sir, we appreciate your story. We appreciate you being such a great community leader here in our great city. Thank you so much, my man.
Not a problem.